Praise the Lord, everybody, everywhere. We are in the first Sunday of the new year. It is 2021, and I want to say Happy New Year to you and to your families. I pray that you are stepping into this year full of hope and full of desire, because I believe God is going to meet those desires. I have a word for you that I cannot wait to share today. And before I jump into the word this morning, I want you to get yourself situated, positioned. I know you're in your living room or your bedroom or in your kitchen. You might be watching me on an iPad or your television screen, wherever you are. I want you to get your mind attuned and centered in on this word, because I believe it's going to set the tone. It's going to set the tone for you and for the rest of this year. And I have been anticipating this word. I've been anticipating the opportunity to speak this word into your life this year. For those of you who are questioning and asking when the church is going to open up, there's going to be some time before that happens. We want to make sure that we're taking every precaution to keep you safe, to keep your family safe, because your life is the most valuable thing to us. And we want to make sure that whenever we do come back together, that we have a strategic plan to make sure that everyone can be safe. Also, we want to be in compliance with what our government is asking us to do, which we've done all year long. So rest assured, we will ramp up our communication with you in a timely manner so that we can communicate when and if we will come back to worship regularly in fellowship. I pray that you got to see our full-blown virtual New Year's Eve service. And if you didn't get to experience the worship, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to that. It is available on our website, and you can go right there, right on the website. You don't even have to click through nothing. It's right on the front page. It's going to greet you there when you get there, and just click on that button that says not again to hear the message and also just to experience the worship, because I think that's an important component to our fellowship. And so we had the worship team come back, and they did such a phenomenal job. And I want you to experience the atmosphere of praise and worship as they took us into the presence of the Lord. So I'd encourage you to do that. And that's on our website, www.thekingdomlife.com. If you have your Bible, go with me to Luke's Gospel, the 11th chapter. And we're going to read down into the first few verses, somewhere around, we're going to finish up in verse 8. But this text, to me, could not have come at a more important and critical moment to where we are today, not only in our society, but also in the body of Christ. And I want you to understand that as we entered into this new year, it is... a caveat that I want to give you before we step into this text. And it's not to bring the mindset of worry into 2021, even though you have much reason to do so, because of how difficult and devastating 2020 was. And so I preached a message for New Year's called Not Again, because the children of Israel were still wrestling with the idea of being in exile, of which they were in for 70 years. And the prophet Isaiah was coming to tell them that the Lord was going to strengthen them. He was going to be with them. And so he told them to not be afraid, because there was going to come a time where the exile was going to end. But they needed to have within them the wherewithal to say to themselves, not again. And by saying not again, you're saying that I am never going to put myself, I'm never going to look at my situation and my circumstance higher or put it above in precedent where I place God in my life. I'm never, ever going to do that. Not again. And so regardless of how difficult or how hard or how trying our situations and circumstances may be, we have to have a not again attitude, and not so much want to get out of it as much as we want to grow through it. And so I preach that message, and I hope you go back and hear it. But I also want to give that caveat to you as it relates to this word today, as we set the tone for what I believe this year and the experiences of it are going to entail in terms of our decision making, our processes, what we choose to go after, how we choose to go after it, and what we believe is possible. And that's what I want to talk about in just a few moments. So Luke's Gospel, the 11th chapter, and the Bible says this: "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" Verse 5 picks up here and says, "And then he said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. And I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because of his friend, yet because of his persistence," one translation says because of his shameless audacity, "but because of his persistence, his shameless audacity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." He will rise and give him as many as he needs. I want to read a few verses one more time so that you can understand how important verse 5 is to us today. "And he said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. I want to preach to you for the next few moments from the subject titled, The Knock at Midnight. The Knock at Midnight. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this opportunity and this moment in time to hear a word from you. We cannot live without your word. If 2020 proved to us anything, is that we need you more now than ever. And we have crossed over into a new year, never taking for granted your presence, your peace, and most of all, your word. For your word cannot return unto you void. It must accomplish what it was sent to do and prosper in the thing you sent it to. Father, when you speak a word, it has the power to separate soul from spirit and discern the intentions of our heart. So speak such a word today, Lord, that we would be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, transformed by the renewing of our minds. Touch every heart that hears this word to be open to receive it, and on every ear so that it can hear what the Spirit says to the church. We thank you in advance for what this word is going to produce in our life, and we give you all the praise, glory, and honor for it in Jesus' name. If you agree with me, go ahead and say amen. We've crossed over into a new year, and as we've stepped into a new year, we have to contemplate, we have to stare at, we have to think about what we have just come out of in order to face what we are coming into. But when we begin to think, when we begin to contemplate, when we begin to stare long and to think long about everything that has transpired up into this point in our life, it could miss us that, it could be lost on us that we are standing on the edge or in the moment of our own futures. We could miss the opportunity that is presented in front of us, right in front of our eyes, that there's no magic in and of itself of crossing over from one year to the next. The magic really happens in the mindset when you choose to change. And as we begin to think about all that has transpired in this year, I want to ask the question, what has changed about you? Because if nothing has changed about you, then the situations and the circumstances of a bad year, a bad moment, a bad second is really not going to matter as much to the individual who went through those incidences, those experiences, and was changed by them. And even after a very long and trying year, I think that it is still our immediate response to most of our situations to include certain attachments and a set of or an idea of defensiveness and judgment and control and most importantly, analysis. We look at every situation and circumstance and either we attach ourselves to it or we become defensive because of it, or we have our value judgments that we add on it and on ourselves and everybody included, or we try to control the situation and therefore ramps up our suffering. You're not suffering because you're in a situation. You're suffering because you're trying to control a situation. And then we try to analyze. And when we try to analyze the whole thing, we become paralyzed. We don't move. And that makes us better at calculating than it does at contemplating. We are better adders. We are better calculators than we are contemplators. In other words, when we are forced to stare long at something, to think about something for a long period of time without any answer, without any resolution, we calculate. We start adding our own scenarios and we think up what could possibly happen. And that's both negative and it's both positive. But as we do it and as we practice it, we're really not moving from what we looked at the first time. It is our first gaze at the issue. It is our first gaze, our first look, our first glance at whatever is going on. And that's where we make oftentimes our knee-jerk reactions to whatever we see and try to analyze it and suggest to ourselves that this is permanent. There is no situation, there is no season that has permanence in your life. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, and whatever the season, it is not permanent. And though we are coming out of a dark season and into a dark winter, as we're being told, as we're still running from a virus that is unified against us, and I wish that we were as just unified against it as it is against us. As we're dealing with the economic pressures of it and the societal pressures of it and the political pressures of it and the family pressures of it and cooped up in our houses and don't know what the jobs look like and wondering if we're going to get furloughed and wondering if there's going to be a second round of relief from our government and wondering how in the world are we going to make it, put food on the table, provide for our kids, how I'm going to get my kids educated and go to work at the same time. We're still looking at the same stuff. The scenery has not changed. But what has changed about us? When we appeal to our better angels, when we appeal to our better selves, when we really take a good look at ourselves and decide that we're going to change and that the circumstance around us doesn't have to move, but I can move around the circumstance because I'll use it as a platform to work on some of the things that's in my heart and my mind, we become open. And when we become open, we become undefended and immediately present to the moment. When we're present to the moment, regardless of what the moment is, it takes us to have a second look. I don't care what your situation looks like right now. I'm asking you and I'm challenging you on the first Sunday of the year to take a second look. I know that's hard. I know that's rough. I know that's difficult. Looking at it again, looking at it a second time, coming back to it. You want to avoid it. You want to deny it. You want it to go over there and sit in the corner because you just don't want to face it. Whatever it is, you don't want to deal with it. But you can't move forward like that. You have to let your defenses down, and you have to become immediately present in the moment, regardless of what the moment is. You'll get there sooner or later, because sooner or later, the circumstance is going to wear you out till you start looking for different solutions. And sometimes the solution to your circumstance is so much not out of it as it is through it. You're trying to get through. You're trying to just get through. And 2020 for all of us was a season, a moment that was very dark and difficult that we just had to get through. I got news for you. If you're listening to me right now, you got through it. Oh, you got to hear what I'm saying. If you are listening to me right now, if you're in your living room or your bedroom, or you're sitting at your coffee table, in your car, wherever you are right now, if you're in 2021, you got through it. You might not have got through it unscathed. You might not have got through it without some fear, without some pressure, without some anxiety, but baby, you did get through it. And if you got through it, I'm asking you to take a second look. Because as you begin to take a second look, a second gaze, a second glance, you would discover that sometimes that is an hour by hour battle. That looking at it again and trying to see where God is in all of it, I'll help you out. Here's a spoiler alert. He's right where he's always been. But as you're trying to figure all of that out, there's one piece of this whole pie, of this whole puzzle that we have forgotten about. That on the whole, we don't use like we should anymore. And this is why the text is so powerful, because Jesus was praying and the disciples heard him pray. And when they heard him pray, they said to him, "Teach us how to pray." You see, when we go through protracted seasons of difficulty, long periods where there are no answers, where there's trouble, where there's turbulence, where there's chaos, prayer really does not become a priority anymore. And the reason it doesn't become a priority anymore is because we're concerned about whether or not it works. Does it really work? I know I'm talking to a bunch of believers. I know I'm talking to a bunch of people who grab horns of the altar and all of that stuff that we say to ourselves. But when you are under pressure, and when that pressure is not alleviated in the time frame that you would like, come on, tell the truth, shame the devil, prayer is not a priority. All I want is to be out of my situation. And when they ask Jesus about prayer, when they asked them about prayer, he said, "Pray like this." He wasn't telling them what to pray, but he was telling them the pattern of it. Oh, can I talk to you for a few moments about the pattern of prayer? You see, the pattern of prayer is not to alleviate your circumstance. That is not the purpose of it. The purpose of prayer is not to totally change everything that's going on in your life, although prayer can do that. But primarily, the purpose of prayer is to make you unguarded. The purpose of prayer is to bring your defenses down. It's to stop you from analyzing the situation, controlling the situation, judging the situation, being defensive about the situation, and more importantly, attaching yourself to the situation. Prayer is very powerful, and it's the component of its power that is the most effective or the most essential is really bringing our guards down. It's taking the interest off of ourselves and bringing it back to God. So he says to them, here's the pattern. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He says, here's the pattern. You're down here where the problem is, and you're forgetting that there's somebody above the problem. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. His name is separated, hallowed out, and it is a name that is above every name that is named. And all of the circumstances and situations that we're dealing with have a name. They're down here. They're fear and their depression and their anxiety, and there's lack and there's poverty and there's pain and there's sickness and there's death. That's all down here. But he said, here's the pattern. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, day by day, our daily bread. Not bread for our future, not bread for next week, just daily bread. I think that is absolutely amazing, because the first time we look at a situation and circumstances, we are seldomly compassionate in it. We're too busy weighing the moment and feeling for our own selves, asking, how is this going to affect me? How is this going to impact me? What is this going to do to me? What is this going to do to my dream? You wouldn't, in coming out of 2020, asking, what is it going to do to my dream? And what is it going to do to my business? And what is it going to do to my family? And we're asking all of these questions, and we're really worrying about, how am I going to look in all of this? I'm going to look like a fool. And how can I get control back of the situation? And all of this leads to an implosion of self-preoccupation that cannot enter into communion, cannot enter into fellowship with God or with the moment or with anybody else. In other words, our first feelings that we have to feel before we can relate to the situation or to the emotion of somebody else that might be dealing with the same thing. Only after God has come into the situation and brought the guard down can we immediately stand in the moment. And that's why he gave them the pattern of prayer. He gave them the pattern of prayer to show them, of course, prayer really works. Of course, it really has power. But the problem is that when our prayers go unanswered, it becomes a major obstacle that stands in the way of our lives and of our faith. You can lose your faith altogether on an unanswered prayer. You can lose your hope. You can lose your zeal. You can lose your joy. All over an unanswered prayer. And then you turn to other things, whether it's philosophy or metaphysics or the universe or whatever it is. And you start praying to the universe. It always is crazy to me or seems off to me or seems unright to me that you would pray to the universe or pray to the thing that didn't have the power to create itself. Why pray to the universe when you can pray to the creator of it? And as we begin to think about all of that and look at it and contemplate on all of it, you have to see how you feel. How do you see how you feel? You got to pray. Prayer exposes, it brings out your very emotions into a space that you can see them. And you can begin to think about, contemplatively, about how you feel about that. This is why he adds right after, give us our daily bread, he adds forgiveness. Forgive us of our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. This is all about how they feel about the moment. They couldn't get there until our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Regardless of what they needed to pray for, the pattern is, God, what do you want? Oh, do you hear what I'm saying? And that's the pattern that he was teaching them. And so the confusion about prayer affects us who are committed to our faith. The greatest difficulty as a believer is to experience an unanswered prayer in our prayer lives. Even though we believe that prayer is a foundation to our faith. And something that we need to practice, which is why the Bible says pray without ceasing. Because it is a day-by-day battle to wrestle with how you feel about the situations and circumstances in your life. But that's not the point of the text that really was juicy to me or as provocative as what happens next. Because what happens next is Jesus pivots from what we call the Lord's Prayer to a real visual moment of a story of a man knocking on a door at midnight. Somebody in need. Because if he doesn't get the need met, he's going to risk embarrassment. Because in that culture, to be hospitable is everything. And Jesus tells a story. And when he tells the story, the Bible says that a man comes and knocks on the door of a friend, but it's at midnight. The knock comes at midnight. And at midnight, the man is knocking on the door, midnight. Is always a significant time because it is the time of transition, the crossing over from one day to the next. Midnight begins the next day. And the next day always begins in the dark. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Don't be so bent out of shape because your new moment begins in the dark. Just because it begins in the dark doesn't mean it's going to be brought into the light. It doesn't mean that light is never going to come. It simply means this is a period of rest before the work actually begins. But it's hard to rest at midnight when you're in need. And that's where we find ourselves stepping into the first Sunday of the year in need at midnight in our society. It's midnight and it's chaotic. People are still getting sick. Folk are still dying. Individuals are still losing their job. It's midnight. It's bleak. It's dark. But it's still a new day. At the same time, there's my problem. And at the same time, there is my request. Paul said it this way, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by supplication. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding, guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I gave him my requests. Why don't I have peace? If you gave him your request, peace will come. And so the reason why Jesus pivots to the story is because the man is in need at a dire moment. And it's not if you have the pattern to pray, but it's if you have the power to do it in the darkest moment. Oh, God, I feel like preaching this thing. You could have the pattern down, but if you don't do it, nothing's going to happen. The greatest tragedy a believer can experience is to have an unanswered prayer that was never heard. Oh, don't let your prayer go unanswered because it went unasked. And the reason it goes unasked is because you find yourself at midnight dealing with a problem that you cannot solve. Who am I talking to? Right now, you're dealing with a problem that you can't solve. It's midnight in your life. And you're looking for the peace of God that passeth all understanding to guard your heart and mind, but it's not there. Perhaps because you haven't opened your mouth and asked God anything anymore. Because you're tired and you're exhausted. You're quarantine fatigued. You're news fatigued. If you get one more piece of bad news, you will lose it. And you're tired and you're frustrated. You're saying, God, I can't. And if one more thing happens, and it's covering over all of your feelings and you're living inside yourself, come on out and start talking to God. It doesn't matter if the problem is resolved right away. You got to start talking to God. You got to start opening your mouth and make your request known to him so that the peace can come. You can't find that peace anywhere else because only in God can you feel whole while everything else is broken in your life. And that's the peace of God. Wholeness. Where nothing's missing, nothing's broken, and nothing lacking. But in reality, it could be lacking. But when I make my request known to him, something happens. Something shows up that gives me a power that I didn't have. And that's the power to persist. The Bible calls it shameless audacity. His shameless audacity to knock on a door at midnight. What would make a man knock on his neighbor's door at midnight? You got to be real desperate to come knocking on a door at midnight. You knock on my door at midnight, we might be fighting. I can't lie. But he knocks on the man's door at midnight. And it made me come to understand why he did it. Why he knocked on the door at midnight. Because there's a huge difference. There's a vast difference, my God, between praying something away and praying through something. He's not trying to pray his situation away. He's not in his own home talking to God about the situation. Even though I'm sure he's done that, he's come to midnight. The next day is approaching. The people are coming. He has need of bread. There's nothing in his house to offer anybody. And that would be an embarrassment as a host. And so he comes to his neighbor because he knows the neighbor has something in the house that he can use. And he knocks on the door at midnight. And so he's deciding to pray through. Oh God, he's deciding not to pray away, but to pray through. Stop trying to pray away your problems. Pray through them. We're so anxious to get out of the difficulty. We're so fast to get out of the painful challenges and situations and circumstances. So much so that we miss the opportunity to grow through them. Because all we want to do is get out of them. So the pattern is great, but do you have the power to persist at midnight? When it's the darkest moment and the man is praying at midnight. Because it's not about him anymore. I wish I had somebody. It's about the people that are coming to his house. It's not about him anymore. And the objective of most of our prayers is our own personal comfort. My stuff, my thing. No. The man is not even praying for him. He's knocking on the door at midnight and it's not even for him. That means he has let go of his desperation, of his own personal embarrassment, and all he wants to do is feed somebody. and he knocks on the door at midnight. And he's praying through his situation because he has the power to persist. And it's because of his shameless audacity that something happens. Don't you give up. Don't you even think about looking at this year as dire and as bleak as you thought you should. Don't you even think for one second that your God is still not moving on your behalf. Don't you even be skeptical about the goodness of God. For God makes all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And yes, you might be in a midnight situation, but at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prison walls begin to shake. And the Bible says everybody's bands were loose. When you have the power to persist and pray at midnight, not only do you bring yourself out, you bring everybody out around you. And if you can fix your mind to see God moving in your life, not only are you going to come out, but everybody that's attached to you is coming out right along with you. You ought to shout, I'm coming out, and my family is too. My friends are coming out. My co-workers are coming out. My grandmama and them are coming out. My auntie and them are coming out. Everybody's attached to me is coming out in 2021. And that's where this man is. But here is the power of the text, that at midnight, his friend gets up and says, I ain't got nothing, and shuts the door. How many doors been shut to you in 2020? How many opportunities you thought you missed? How many times they told you there's no help here? How many doors? But the man stood there and said, I know you ain't gonna leave me out of here. The culture of the moment is important. And I don't want it to be lost on us to miss why he stood at the door at midnight. Because culturally, you are obligated to help your neighbor. If you don't help your neighbor in that society, everybody's going to know that you are not a part of it, that you are not who you say you are. And the man says, my reason for not helping you, it's because it's midnight. Why was that important? If you got bread in the house, just give me some bread. I don't care what time it is. I'm in need. The problem was, is that in that culture, all the families lived in a one-room house. They slept in one room. There were no compartments, the mama's room and the daddy's room and the baby's room in the basement. It was just one room. On the side of the house was a platform where all the animals was. If the father got up to give the neighbor bread, he would disturb the whole house. And his first reason for saying no was because I don't want to disturb everybody just to get something to you. But the man at the door understood the culture. And if you can understand the culture of the kingdom, you have to know that God is not going to leave you standing outside the door. And I hear the Lord saying, keep knocking and keep asking, because I'll disturb the whole house just to get you the bread that you need. You ought to lift your hands right where you are and say, God is about to disrupt the whole house just to get to me what I need. That's what this story is all about. And that's what 2021 is all about. God disturbed the whole house in 2020 just to get to you what you need in 2021. God is shaking the heavens and the earth. He's disturbing everything just to get you what you need. So keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Don't let your prayer go unanswered because it went unasked. Ask God what he wants first and let him come to you and supply all your needs according to his riches and his glory. Yes, prayer can change your circumstance. But when your circumstance doesn't change, it is a prophetic indicator that God is trying to change you, not your circumstance. God is trying to change you. And so God delivers us oftentimes, yes, from our problems. But baby, sometimes he sets us free through them. And we are stepping into a new year. There's no magic in January 1. The magic is in your mindset. Have a shameless audacity this year. Be audacious as you possibly can for the things of God, for the heart of God. Not just for your own personal gain and benefit, but come back to a place of prayer, of seeking his face, of communicating with him. Set the tone for your year. Spend a few moments. I don't care if you got to start out begging. Just talk to him. I don't care if all hell is breaking loose in your prayers. God, please, say God, please. Whatever it is, go to him. And when you do, the peace of God that transcends understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I'm praying for you this year like never before. I'm making a personal determination to pray more, not for me, for you. Jesus is praying that our faith fails not. And this is a year where our faith cannot fail. We have to stand on the word of God. And we have to come back to our senses and the priority of talking with the Father. Not to get a car, not to get a house, not to get a spouse, but just to know his heart. What do you want, God? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Be shameless in your audacity this year. Be shameless in what you believe and know your God can do. And not only will you come out, you will come through. Because God is going to come through for you. Doors are opening right now. Doors are opening right now. Doors are opening right now. And behind that door is the provision that you need. God is not going to let you be embarrassed. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. I pray this word encouraged you. I pray it blessed you. I pray it pushed you to come into a place of prayer this year, to seek God's face, to get his heart so that you can move at his pace. Because when the process begins for you to do what God is calling you to do, it is not going to be easy. And you're going to need prayer as a priority. And I pray that you make persistent prayer a priority this year in your life. That you would do it consistently, day by day, to receive daily bread. God is not going to leave you on the outside looking crazy. He is going to provide for you in this year, for your family, for everything that you need. And I hear it in my spirit, and he shall do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think. But it's according to the power that is already resident on the inside of you. Open your mouth and talk to God in Jesus' name. I pray that you would start this year off sowing and giving. I am making a firm commitment this year to even ramp up mine, to get seed in the ground. I challenged you on New Year's Eve to sow an Isaiah 41 seed. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord our God will strengthen you. And I'm praying that you do the same thing today. If you're not a tither, sow a seed of $41. If you're a tither, get your tithe in the ground. Trust God. He'll never fail you. If you want to do that, you can text to give. Text GiveKLC to 73256. You can go to our website, and click on the giving icon, give on that platform. You can give on our church's app platform at the Kingdom Life Church on Google or iTunes. You can also mail it in if you choose to. However you choose to do it as unto the Lord. Now may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor like a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. And may his precious blood cover you from now into eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I can't wait to see you next week. God bless you. Happy New Year.